the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's time for our weekly trip to the United States to Marion McCune and Cal Thomas. But before we hear from either of them, let's hear what US President Donald Trump has had to say about the hostage situation in Gaza.
Well, I would say this, and I'm going to let that because that's Israel's decision. But as far as I'm concerned, if all of the hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 o'clock, I think it's an appropriate time. I would say cancel it and all bets are off and let hell break out. I'd say they ought to be returned by 12 o'clock on Saturday. And if they're not returned, all of them, not in drips and drabs, not two and one and three and four and two. Saturday at 12 o'clock, and after that, I would say all hell is going to break out.
Okay, Cal Thomas, how appropriate is it for Donald Trump to be moving the goalposts in relation to the ceasefire, to be putting in demands in relation to when hostages should be released?
Yeah, I don't know what all hell breaking loose means. I mean, okay, he's going to say to Israel, go ahead and finish the job. Well, that could lead to the deaths of most, if not all, of the rest of the hostages. I think you have to have a game plan in place. Yes, it is frustrating that Hamas is doing this, dribs and drabs, but they've done it before. It's the reason they seized hostages in order to get their terrorist buddies, many of whom have been convicted and sentenced to life in prison for murder, out of incarceration. And that seems to be working. It's always done this way before. The terrorists grab a few hostages or they make other demands and Israel has to give in to world pressure to release dozens or hundreds or even thousands of prisoners. So, but I do think that Trump's remarks are inappropriate. It's a very dangerous and time right there in the Middle East. And by the way, I wonder if he means 12 o'clock Eastern time or 12 o'clock Middle Eastern time.
That did strike me, the imprecision of that. Marion McCune, what do you think is he up to here now with this?
Well, I think what I'm even more concerned about is he said all of the hostages, all of them. We know there are more than 70. The agreement is that 33 will be released by the end of this month, like, which is 2.5 weeks away. So has he just unilaterally completely changed the terms of the ceasefire? You know, did he agree this with Netanyahu? Like, what is going on here? It's so dangerous. It's just adding explosives. It's pouring oil on a situation that's already blazing. And he's currently in a meeting with the King of Jordan, and he on Sunday in an interview said that now apparently he's saying that no Palestinians will be allowed to return to Gaza after he presumably turns it into another Las Vegas or Atlantic City, that no Gazans can come back. So he is not only seems to be unilaterally changing the terms of this ceasefire agreement, but he's also saying that America is going to take Gaza and that no Palestinians, ethnic cleansing on a scale of about 2 million people is what he's suggesting. It just makes no sense. It's you know, the world in the Middle East, it's so volatile at the moment already. But, you know, also, what does all hell breaking loose mean? I mean, Gaza has, they're bombing rubble there at this stage. There's nothing left to destroy. So what, you know, what exactly does he mean by, will America start bombing Gaza? You know, this is insane, this sort of bluster, but it's so dangerous.
But it's about the third time now, isn't it, that he's expanded upon his plans for Gaza, that some people said, "Ah, don't take it seriously. He just went off on one in his press conference with Netanyahu last week in the White House." But if he keeps talking about this, isn't he going to have to do something unless he wants to shred his credibility?
Well, you know, this reminds me, Trump says things, if you remember during the debate when he said that Haitians were eating cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio, and everybody was shocked that he could say it and say it, but it brought the conversation where he wanted, which is it focused the election on immigration and it ginned up that anti-immigration feeling in America, which helped him to win. And so I don't know what's at the back of this. I mean, there is no way that Jordan and Egypt are going to take 2 million Palestinians. And why should they? You know, if Trump wants to take Gaza, why is isn't he saying all the Palestinians can come and live in America? You know, we take your land, you come and live in ours. None of this. So I think that there is what Israel wants, and what the far right in Israel has always wanted, is complete control of Gaza, that they push out the Palestinians and they own it and they run it and they profit from it. And I think that Trump is laying down the foundations for this sort of thing so that he will support this initiative, and presumably because it's Trump, he sees himself as getting some big kickback where he'll be involved in the construction, the reconstruction, whatever, because America will not take Gaza. I mean, that will not happen.
Okay, what do you make of that, Carl Thomas, this idea that he says that the Gazans should move out and that they wouldn't be allowed back into their own land? Who's he to be saying that?
Well, I think Marion's right. Egypt, Jordan are not going to take it. I think take them. I think we have to go back a little history here. Remember Black September 1972, when Yasser Arafat was in Jordan and a bunch of his minions tried to assassinate King Hussein. And they were thrown out of Jordan and went to southern Lebanon, where they set up these so-called refugee camps, invited the media in, and the narrative has gone forward since then. Look, to reconstitute Gaza, to rebuild it, and to let all the people, the 2 million people, stay there, a majority of whom voted for Hamas to be in power, will simply replicate what we've already seen. It's going to happen over and over and over again, because these people are religiously mandated. They think they have an order from Allah to kill the Jews, to take over Israel, and all the rest. But I agree, this is not going to happen as Trump has said, although I did call my travel agent this morning and asked him to make a reservation for
Cal,
future Trump hotel.
Cal, I'm not sure this is one to joke about. And actually, as it happens, I see now that Netanyahu has issued a statement saying that Israel will resume what he calls intense fighting in Gaza if Hamas does not return the remaining hostages by Saturday at noon. So that would look like that after the prompting of Trump, they're looking to end the ceasefire. And in fairness, would it not also be the case, Cal, that, you know, for you say about religious zealots amongst the Palestinians, that they're equally, there's an awful lot of religious zealots amongst the Israelis who believe they're following scripture as well. It's not a one-way street.
Well, that's true. That's true. But, we can't go through the entire history of the Middle East and the history of thousands of years of Israel. But, yeah, there's right. Of course, there's always been fanatics. There are fanatics in the United States, religious and secular. The important thing is to control them and not let them reach a position of power where they can harm other people with whom they might disagree.
Another listener, actually, Cal, says Hamas was voted in 2006, 19 years ago. Half of the Gazans are under the age of 18. You can't say that they voted for this.
Yeah, well, they have a similar mindset, and, I appreciate all these emails that come in that always seem to be against me, but that's okay.
I'm reading them as they come in, Carl.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Really, I'm reading them as they come in, and, you know.
Come on, you conservatives in Ireland, let's hear from you.
Okay, well, yeah, let's back to you, Marion. Just to finish in relation to this, and is it that Trump is spending so much time talking about this as a distraction from what's going on back in the United States of America, particularly what Elon Musk is up to with Doge?
Well, I think that there may be something in that, because the courts have come with a vengeance, and they've already put pauses or declared, you know, made various declarations about 10 of the actions of Doge, ranging from the firing of all the USAID workers to access to Treasury to a whole bunch of things. So I think that this is, look, Trump is a master of this. He came in and he said there were going to be tariffs. He backed down, he blinked in an instant with Mexico and Canada. He just caved on that totally, pretended he got something when he got absolutely nothing, when in fact Mexico extracted a concession from Trump about not selling guns to armed gangs in Mexico, and not the other way around. So now he's back with his steel tariffs, and he's back with this, and he's trying to distract attention from the fact that eggs have never been higher in price, his big campaign promise. The war in Ukraine is still raging. The things that he said he'd do, bring down grocery prices, etc., are just not happening. So, you know, he's not doing the things he said he would do, and then we're getting all of this other stuff instead. No Americans voted for America to take over Gaza. You know, that just wasn't on the ballot in any shape or form. So I really, but yet some of what he's doing is, we cannot deny it, it's popular with Americans. He's currently at his highest approval ratings of any of his time, including his first presidency. 53% of Americans approve of this chaos. They seem to approve of Doge. They seem to approve of these teenagers running, marauding through the Capitol Hill and the various government departments. So it's a very strange time in America.
Carl, you've written your column, haven't you, which seems to be supportive of what Elon Musk is doing in relation to government.
Well, first I'd mention that the reason egg prices are up is because of bird flu, and Trump has only been office 3 weeks, so give him a little more time. Yes, I have long advocated through several administrations, Republican and Democrat, that the federal government is in need of a top-to-bottom audit. Major corporations do this. Other businesses have audits. Outside people come in to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse. Only the federal government in the United States seem to be above this. And this is what Doge is all about. As recently as 2018, the New York Times was reporting on military overspending, $14,000 for a toilet seat lid, this kind of stuff. And the Pentagon is next, Musk says, and Trump says, for an audit. It's long overdue. And, of course, the people who are responsible for a lot of this stuff are screaming and yelling about the law all of a sudden. They weren't screaming about the law when Joe Biden ignored the Supreme Court edict that he didn't have the power to forgive student loan debt, or that he mandated through Title IX that men and boys be put in women's and girls' sports. So it's kind of hypocritical for them to raise those issues now. But we're getting the audit that we've needed.
But Carl, is it an audit you're getting? You used an analogy at the start of your column today about spring cleaning. Could you just explain that to listeners, the particular analogy you used?
Yeah, well, as I say in the column, my mother used to go through closets in the attic and basement in the spring of every year to give to charity or discard things that we no longer needed. And I analogize that to an audit. There's, you know, Ronald Reagan used to have a great line. He said, the only proof of eternal life in Washington is a government program. It attracts adherents like a ship attracts barnacles, and is almost impossible to kill, because if you try to cut even the rate of increase in spending, you get people howling about, oh, what about the children? What about old ladies? What about this and what about that? They never see anything that is worthy of cutting. And that's why they're screaming and yelling right now.
Yeah, you see, I was interested, and I read your analogy, and I've no difficulty with the idea of spring cleaning. Might do it myself every year in our own house. But that's not what Musk is doing. What Musk is doing is, you might actually take on some of your unwanted suits or shirts or whatever because they're worn away or you no longer want them. But what Musk is going in is, he's taking everything and he's pulling it out and he's firing it into the dumpster and he's burning it, and you'd be left with no clothes. And that's the problem, Cal. He's not showing any discretion, or he's not doing an audit. He is simply destroying. Marion, do you want to come in on that?
Oh, my. Oh.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a really good point, because, look, everybody would agree in America, and I would certainly agree, you've got to have efficiency. You can't have things just being bloated indefinitely, and every department benefits from a health check. But what Musk is doing, and take USAID as an example, he is combining his own personal interests with his own personal vendettas. And he was having a row with the Inspector General of USAID because they were investigating the way he was messing around with the provision of Starlink, which provided internet for the Ukraine. So he thought, right, that's it, I'm going to bring down USAID. So this was personal. This was nothing to do with, because there's very, very little waste in USAID. And this nonsense about 70,000 for musicals, it all turned out to be completely a misstatement of the whole thing. So I think that this is, let's see what he does in the Pentagon, because there is a lot of waste in the Pentagon. The Pentagon absorbs $1 trillion a year. So let's see what he does there. And let's see what he gets away with there before Republicans start crying foul, because that is an area that, that could be...
I wonder, sorry,
the way
Marion.
He's doing it, bringing in teenagers who have gone into departments, who have taken codes, who have got veterans, people who have worked for decades to justify their jobs to a 19-year-old. It is outrageous and it's ridiculous and it's the opposite of efficient. It's causing chaos, which will probably cause a lot of cost a lot of money to just fix the chaos that Elon Musk is causing.
Carl, wasn't it John F. Kennedy who put in USAID on the basis that he saw the benefit to the United States in being a good global citizen, in making sure that there wasn't resentment towards the United States, and also as a way actually for the likes of American farmers to do a supply food for the rest of the world for which they would be paid? Is there not an enormous risk that America destroys the soft power it has accumulated over the years and leaves the opportunity for the likes of China and Russia in places like Africa to step in and to win the influence if the USA myopically surrenders it?
Right. Well, that is a concern, Matt. And I would argue that John Kennedy, foreign policy and foreign aid was limited. But again, like so many government programs that start out with good intentions, they quickly grow with lots of add-ons that have nothing to do with the original intent. And that's why, you know, Marion talks about 19-year-olds. Well, there are a lot of geniuses out there who are at 19 and a lot of doofuses who are at 19 as well. Let's see how this all works out. I think she's right about the Pentagon. That has been a source of money for the Republicans for a long time. They want to defend everything that the Pentagon does, but not everything the Pentagon does is contributes to the defense of the United States. I give you those toilet seat lids from 2018 as an example of many examples that could be cited.
Talk to me about plastic straws, Cal.
Well, if you've ever tasted the paper straws, they taste terrible. And this was something the Biden administration did, President Biden did, as another sop to the environmentalists. The fact is that a lot of elements in the paper straws are in fact in the plastic straws. And so while there is some noticeable difference, there is a lot of other things that aren't different. I always refuse paper straws. If I can't get a plastic straw at a restaurant, I just drink directly from the glass.
Maybe no straws at all, just drink directly from the glass, way to do it, because I see the Plastics Industry Association is very happy. Its president and chief executive said straws are just the beginning. Back to plastic is a movement we should all get behind. Clearly, Marion, this guy has no cares about microplastics and the damage to the environment that is caused by plastic production.
Really, because plastic is so good for the planet. It's been proven over and over. The more plastic you have swimming around the ocean, the better the planet is. It's ridiculous. And, you know, again, this is a stunt and I'm loath to waste time on it. It's another Trump stunt. It's a distraction that he wants us to talk about so we don't talk about the really important stuff that's going on. And I just see that the King Abdullah of Jordan has just agreed to take in 2,000 children from Gaza, orphans, presumably. That is his concession. It's a long way from 2 million. That's just come up now.
Matt, I give you the quote from The Graduate, the famous movie. Plastics are the future.
Right. I think we've earned an awful lot since then, though, Cal. Cal, can I just tell you as well, just to clarify that lots of people are very, very upset getting in touch in relation to, they feel that Trump's plans for Gaza are outrageous. They feel that it is ethnic cleansing and they really feel that it isn't appropriate to joke about the idea of booking a room in a Trump hotel in Gaza at some stage in the future.
Well, that's where we were headed and I thought a little levity might be...
I understand, but I think it is something that, you know, perhaps not the best judged, because an awful lot of our listeners are genuinely offended. There is a deep concern in this country for what has been going on, that there's an extreme condemnation of what Hamas did in October 2023. Just let me finish, Cal, in relation to that. There would be a widespread feeling in Ireland that the reaction by Israel has been disproportionate to what actually happened, that we've had a situation where we've had up to 50,000 people who were killed in the Israeli onslaught, that you have had hundreds of thousands injured or displaced from their homes. There's about 400,000 to 500,000 who have tried to go back since the ceasefire went into place. And the idea that they would be forcibly removed from their own homeland is something that, with Irish people, with their understanding of our own history, find deeply offensive.
Well, my apologies to anyone who was offended, Matt.
Thank you very much. Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.